you want to live a life to produce a melody that blesses people and pleases God, if you want to live your life in a way that will bring glory to Him in a way that it makes the heart of God smile, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, you got to learn how to live your life in the key of G. You got to learn how to live your life according to God's will, God's power, and God's pleasure. And so today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live your life in G. How to live your life in G. And the G I'm talking about is not a gangster G. It's a God G. So when somebody says to you around the church, it's a G thing, it's about God and God alone. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can find an outline on our church website at goodhope.org, or you can download our church app and you can find a fill-in-the-blank version there in the app. Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi. Paul writes this epistle from prison. This is one of his prison epistles. And it's interesting because even though he writes from prison, he has a joyous overtone to his epistle. As a matter of fact, one of the overarching themes of the book of Philippians is joy. And Paul teaches us that joy is not based on where you are or what you're going through. Joy is based on your relationship with God. And Paul tells us in Philippians 2:13 that God himself wants to be the composer, the conductor, and the creator of the melody of our lives. And when you live your life, and when we talk about living our life here, remember we spell life L-Y-F-E, living your faith every day. When you live your life in G, everything changes. You become a vessel through which God's grace, God's goodness, and God's glory can flow. This passage reminds us of what it means to experience salvation in God. And when we talk about salvation in God, we're talking about both deliverance from and deliverance to. A deliverance from the bondage of sin and a deliverance to living a new life in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's just a few verses earlier when Paul says, "You have been saved by grace, not of works, so that no one can boast about their salvation." And so here we are listening to the Apostle Paul, who encourages us as a follower of Jesus to do all we can. In verse 12, he says, to work out your soul salvation. It's important for you to understand that once you have been saved by grace, not of works, so that no one can boast. Now, when you walk in your salvation, he wants you to know you don't work for it, but you have to work it out. People need to see some evidence that you are a child of God. God is not interested in secret agent saints. He's not interested in undercover believers. God wants you to work out what he has put in you. Six works are presented in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Let me just throw them out to you real quick. The first work is to work out one's own salvation in verse 12. The second work is to work at obedience, to work out the moving of God within your heart in verse 13. Verse 14 talks about the work that we should put in at not complaining. We should not be complainers if we are people of God and we are followers of Jesus Christ. The fourth work is that we should work at being pure, not according to our standards, but according to God's standards. The fifth work is you should work at witnessing, sharing your faith, sharing the good news of the gospel with others. And the sixth work in verses 17 and 18 is that you should follow the example of sacrificial labor. Today, we're going to focus on that second work, what it means to work at obedience, what it means to allow your life to be lived in such a way that God is pleased and others are blessed. Here's the first thing I want you to see. If you're going to live your life in G, number one, you need to live your faith every day by letting God work in you. You need to live your faith every day by letting God work in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, here's the A part, for it is God who works in you. Stop right there. It is God who works in you. Remember, Paul is in prison being held on false charges. There's a good chance he will be executed. So he writes to the church at Philippi, understanding that these may be his last words. He may not ever get a chance to see or speak to them again. And Paul says, God wants to work in you. That word for work, energon, is a word that really speaks to energy. It's God arousing, God stirring, God energizing your heart to do God's will. Paul wants you and wants I, wants me to know that we are to be people who are letting God do a work in us. Now, here's the problem. Most of us, especially in our prayers, want God to do a work for us. We don't pray often for God to do something in us. And can I tell you something about praying, asking God to do something in you? It's a dangerous prayer. When you put yourself in the hands of God to do something right in your life when you've been doing wrong a long time. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. Let me see if I can help you. If you have been praying, for example, and you said, Lord, make me a better woman, make me a better wife, make me a better mother. God says, oh, I got no problem with that. But here come tests, here come trials, here come challenges that are going to challenge you in each of those three areas to help you to become what you've been praying for. You say, Lord, I need more patience. God said, oh, you need patience? Well, you know the only way to get patience is to wait. So the Lord puts you in some situations that you sure enough don't want to wait in, and then makes you wait. And then makes you wait longer. And then makes you wait longer until you develop some patience. And just in case you didn't wait long enough, he said, I can make you wait a little bit longer. Somebody in here, you need to thank God because he does not leave you alone to work out your salvation and deliverance without him. He works within you. He moves you, he stirs you, he energizes you, and arouses you to get up and get to what God has commanded you to do. He is forever working in you. Now, here's the tragedy of life. The tragedy of life occurs when you ignore, neglect, or refuse to respond to when God is trying to work in you. How often have you rejected, ignored, or neglected to do what God led you to do? When you feel the Spirit of God leading you, you need to respond and do whatever God is leading you to do. Just think how much growth you've lost, how often you've let God down, all because you have chosen the things, possessions, and activities of this world to be your priority instead of following God and how he's been leading. He says, you got to recognize God is trying to do a work in you. He's not only giving us the desire, but he says he wants to empower you to do his will. And I want you to notice where God starts working. Text says he works in you. See, too many of us live our lives looking for satisfaction from the outside in. And God says your true peace, your true satisfaction is going to come when you learn how to live your life from the inside out. Some of us can't live from the inside out because we don't recognize what we have inside of us and what God is trying to do inside of us. Here's what God wants you to understand. Your life is never meant to be a solo performance. Your life is to always be a duet with the divine. He's shaping your character, refining your heart, and tuning your spirit. Let me say it again, because some of y'all missed it. Your life is to be a duet with the divine. God's trying to make you and mold you into what he wants you to be, but he's got to do it from the inside out. Over the years, especially when we were using upright or baby grand pianos in service or in the other building, we would call somebody to tune the piano because as it just sat and wasn't played and atmospheric conditions changed, humidity changed, that piano would quickly go out of tune. And so one day I began to watch the tuner and I said, man, let me see how he does this. Now, I can tell you right now, I watched him from the start to the finish. I know nothing about tuning a piano except lifting up the cover. That's it. But here's what I noticed. He didn't look at the piano from the outside to diagnose what was wrong. He had to pull the cover off and get down on the inside. And then when he got on the inside, he checked every key. He played every key to see which one was out of tune and how far out of tune it was. It's the same way with God. When he gets inside your life, he wants to bring every part of your life in tune with his will. So don't settle for outward religion. Invite God to do some work on the inside. Stop trying to fix yourself in your own strength. Let God work in you. Spend intentional time in prayer and scripture reading so God can tune your thoughts and tune your attitude by inviting the Holy Spirit in to examine and fix your life. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Write down on the side of your outline Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. I'm going to read it for you. I didn't put it on your outline, but I want you to write that down. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God says if you're going to live your life in the key of G, you got to let God work in you. But here's the second thing. Number two, you need to live your faith every day by letting God shape your will. You need to live your faith every day by letting God shape your will. Look at what the text says, verse 13, the B part. For it is God who works in you both to will. God says it's not only your work, I'll get there, but let me work on your will. That word will speaks to deliberately doing something beyond your feelings. It's to make an intentional decision to be used by God, to obey God. See, here's the problem. Too many of us, we base our faith on how we feel. As a matter of fact, it's the only area in our lives where we allow feelings to dictate our actions. If it's real cold outside and temperatures below freezing, you don't feel like getting up and going to work. But how many of you know if you only went to work when you felt like it, you wouldn't have a job? When you were going to school, you didn't feel like getting up in the morning and going to school, right? But if that was the requirement, if that was the prerequisite to feel like going to school, you would have been an elementary school dropout. You wouldn't even made it to middle school or high school. Come on, somebody. There are things that we do in life that we don't feel like doing. We've got to exercise our will. And Paul says you got to do the same thing in your work, walk with God. You got to exercise your will. See, here's what God says. I want to transform you on the inside by transforming what you desire, what you want, and where you will exercise your will. That guitar player who adjusts the tension in each string on his instrument he has to tighten and loosen depending on how that string is playing by turning that tuning peg at the top of the guitar. Well, my brothers and sisters, God tightens and loosens the strings of your life. He wants your relationships, your trials, and your blessings to help make you a person who lives in G. And sometimes it can be a painful experience, especially when God is trying to transform your will. What do you need to do? You need to pray every day. And one of your prayers needs to be, Lord, make me what you want me to be. You need to pray and ask God to replace your selfish motives with godly ambition. Because true joy comes when your heart beats in rhythm with God's heart. Here's the third thing. Number three, you need to live your faith every day by letting God work through you. Everybody say through you. You got to let God work through you. For it is God, verse 13, who works in you both to will, here it is, and to work for his good pleasure. Both to will and to work. Now, this is the same word that is used when Paul says God does a work in you. Except now Paul uses it to talk about you allowing God to do a work through you. It's not enough for you to change your will if you don't change your work. Paul says your godliness is not just in your will, but it has to show up in your work. God not only wants to shape your heart, but he wants to use your hands. Have I got a witness here? God not only wants to form your character, but he also wants to fuel your calling. God not only wants to purify your mind, but he also wants to prioritize your mission. God not only wants to renew your spirit, but he also wants to direct your steps. God not only wants to work in your life and work on your life, but God wants to work through your life. God not only wants to shape your desires, he wants to strengthen your decisions. God not only wants to grow your faith, he wants to guard your future. God not only wants to cleanse your soul, he wants to commission your service. God not only wants to change who you are, but he also wants to use what you have. God not only wants to transform your will, but he wants to empower your walk. He doesn't want to only refine your heart, but he wants you to release your hands. He wants to empower you to serve, love, and minister in ways that glorify him. God doesn't just work in you to make you feel better. God works in you to make you live better. You know, if you've ever watched an orchestra or a big band play, I always tried to figure out, man, how did they know when to move and when to do their parts? And I was just watching on YouTube the other day, a big band playing, and they introduce the maestro, the conductor, and he came out. And I noticed that he had a little baton in his hand, a little stick, but he didn't move a whole lot. You know, he wasn't as animated as some choir directors in our church tradition, you know. He wasn't all, he just. And I'm trying to figure out, how was he signaling them when to make the moves and when to make the changes? Here's what I noticed. Everybody that was playing knew that they weren't playing to please the audience, they were playing to follow the conductor. And while they had an eye on the sheet music, they had an eye on him. And they were watching every gesture and every move that he made. You are an instrument in God's orchestra. And you need to play the notes in God's song that blesses not just God, but blesses the world. How do you do that? You look for opportunities to serve others. You share your gifts and talents to bring glory to God. Step out in faith so God can amplify your impact beyond what you can see. Look for daily opportunities to let God work through you. Encourage a coworker, pray for a friend, volunteer at church. Living in G means your life plays God's melody in a broken world. I was just talking to one of our members the other day, and we were talking about how many people need encouragement, but how few people give encouragement. And it's amazing because I would venture to say that 99% of us in here like a word of encouragement. Good job. Great job. Man, you look nice today. You lost weight? You know, we like some encouraging words, you know. But how come we don't give encouragement as much as we want to get it? We've got to learn to let God work through us and recognize when God works through us, God is touching people in a powerful way. Here's the last thing I want you to see, then I'm going to take my seat. Number four, you need to live your faith every day in a way that brings pleasure to God. You need to live your faith every day in a way that brings pleasure to God. You need to live in a way that pleases God. Look at what the text says, the end of verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That phrase, good pleasure, is one word in the original language. And it speaks to gracious purpose, a good object in view, something that is in alignment with God's will for your life, and so it pleases God. Paul reminds the Philippian church that the ultimate goal of their obedience and walk with God is not to impress people, not to get the applause of people, not even to make life easier for themselves, but the ultimate goal in life is to live in a way that pleases God. Living your faith every day means making God smile, your standard, instead of pleasing people or even yourself. See, when your heart is tuned and your actions are surrendered, your desires begin to change. God reshapes what you want so your plan will begin to match his purpose. Sometimes God has to apply pressure to get us to play right. Sometimes he has to use tension in order to get us to walk in harmony with his will. I want you to understand that God has a purpose for your life, and God's purpose for your life is for you to live in a way that pleases him. You got to pray. Ask God, Lord, use me in a way that pleases you. See, true joy is found not in having things your way, but in living God's way. In this egocentric world that we live in, many play on that self-centered, self-seeking, egocentric mentality that was epitomized by that commercial many years ago by Burger King, Have It Your Way. And we want to have life our way. We want to have life our way. Even in a marriage, we want it our way. In our families, we want it our way. We even go so far as to say it's my way or the highway. But the truth of the matter is, the question is, are you living God's way? You remember that out-of-tune guitar? Here's what I've learned. It doesn't matter how skillfully a person can play an instrument. If that guitar, if that piano is out of tune, it won't sound right. And the same is true about your life. If your life is out of tune, you can't live your best life any more than an out of tune instrument can sound good. You got to make sure when you live your life that you're living your life in G. You're living your life in a way that pleases God. You've got to let God tune your heart, let God adjust your desires, and let God empower your actions. See, living in G is about a partnership with God. It's you saying, I am an instrument, but you making a conscious decision as to who is going to control or play your life. When you decide to live your life in G, he composes and you cooperate. He empowers and you obey. He leads and you follow. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. Let's read it together. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Y'all sound so good. Let's read Colossians 1:10 together. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Somebody who's watching right now, somebody under the sound of my voice, you may feel like an old instrument, dusty, out of tune in the corner. Not living up to your potential. Not being used by God like God desires. But when you surrender your life to the Lord, he tunes you. He empowers you and plays a melody through you that blesses the world and pleases his heart. So I want to encourage everybody, let God take center stage in your life. And watch how your life becomes a song that plays on earth but echoes into eternity. See, when God works in you, his glory will shine through you. When God shapes your heart, God will guide your steps. When God gives you his grace, he'll help you run your Christian race. When God is your song, he will keep you strong. When the storms blow, God's power will hold you. When the nights are long, God's presence will keep you. When the load is heavy, God's strength will carry you. When the battle rages, God's victory will secure you. So live your life in G. Not for the applause of people, but for the pleasure of God. Not for earthly crowns, but for eternal rewards. Not in your own strength, but in the power of God. For his glory, for his goodness, and for his grace. Have I got a witness in here? Listen, when you live your life in a way to please God, you'll be surprised how everything in your life will begin to get right when you make a commitment to stop living wrong. You know, I remember as a new Christian, I was taught the basics of the faith, and one of the things I was taught was giving. You know, and the principle of tithing, right? We know biblically that's a principle that was started in the Old Testament. It predates the law. It's not a product of the law. As a matter of fact, if you gave as according to the law, you would give about 33 1/3% of your income. Our giving is just an acknowledgement that every blessing we have comes from God. And I remember sitting there, man, saying, boy, I don't know if I can afford to tithe. Deacon Martin, I would say, man, boys, it's tight. And here's what I learned over the years. I can't speak for anybody else. I have never missed what I gave to God. No, I'm telling you, what I know. I have never missed. I have never sat there and said, boy, if I hadn't gave, I'd be able to do. Because here's what I learned. When my priorities began to change about my possessions and I recognized that I belong to God, y'all not gonna pray with me. There's some stuff that I was doing that was costing me some money that I stopped doing because I started trying to get right with God. And I found out my issue wasn't I didn't have enough money, I just had too many expenses. Y'all not gonna pray with me today. I want you to check your motives. Ask yourself, am I living for the approval of people? Or am I living to please God? Prioritize your obedience over your convenience. Make a commitment to say, God, I'm going to live for you. And live on earth with eternity in mind. Live on earth with eternity in mind. What do I mean? If you live on earth with earth in mind, you will live for the applause of people on earth. But if you live on earth with eternity in mind, even if you don't get an applause on earth, in eternity you'll hear God say, well done. I wish I had a witness in here. I've told you before, if you live for the approval of people, you'll die from their rejection. I want to live for the approval of God. I want to hear him say, well done. Today, I want us to pray a simple prayer. And here's that prayer. Lord, make me over again. See, here's what I've learned. When an instrument is tuned, when a guitar is tuned, when a piano is tuned, it won't stay in tune forever. There's stuff just existing in the air, in the atmosphere, that will move an instrument out of being tuned. That's why no guitar player ever picks up their guitar without first checking to see if it's in tune. If a pianist is going to do a concert somewhere, he wants to insist, she wants to insist that that piano has been tuned. Because the last thing they want to do is have a note or two or three out of tune. This tuning process is something that you have to continually do. You have to continually let God work in you. You have to continually let God shape your will. You've got to continually let God work through you. You've got to continually, intentionally try to live in a way that pleases God. Father, we thank you today for your word. I pray now that someone has heard from you. And I pray, God, that they would yield themselves to you to say, Lord, help me be an instrument in your service. Help me to be used by you for our good, our growth, and ultimately for your glory, God, that others may know you and others may grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Elder.
You know my other side, I can no longer hide. Let you down so many times, sin freshly crucified, thought that I had a plan. Thought I had it all figured out, but the more that you try to stay by my side, the more I pushed you out.
Come on, sing it if you know it, everybody.
Lord, make me over. Lord, make me over. Lord, make me over. Make me over again.
Lord, will you
make me over?
Time after time I failed you, pierced your side when they already nailed you. Jesus, heal my open wounds. I just want to be more like you. Father, I let down. What's not like you, just take it out. Reconcile me, Jesus. I just wanna please you. Wash me and make me whole.
Come on, if you can pray that, stand on
everybody
your feet if you can.
Say, Lord, make me over.
Make me over.
Lord, make me over.
Do it for me, Lord.
Lord, make me over.
Or will you
make me over again?
Oh, make me over.
Make me over again.
Lord, make me over. My prayer, Lord, make me over.
Make me over again.
Come on, everybody. Lord, make me.
Lord, make me over. Lord, make me over.
Lord, make me over.
Lord, make me over.
Make me over. Clean heart, oh God.
Make me over again.
And renew the right spirit within me, Lord.
Make me over again.
Like only you can make me over.
Make me over again.
Listen, somebody who's watching right now, the gladiators are in the prayer room. This QR code comes up on the screen. Maybe you want to make a decision today to ask Christ into your life. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you. You recognize that maybe you were in tune, now you're out of tune with God. Somebody will pray with you face to face. If you indicate in the chat that you're looking for prayer, somebody will encourage you in your walk with God. If you're needing salvation, you want to ask Christ into your life, can do that as well. And if you're looking for a church home, we would love you to be part of the I Hope Church community, where we are committed to developing and discipling people all over the world. If you're here in the sanctuary today, upstairs or down, to my left or right, wherever you are, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes today. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing that, you know what, I've been living my life, but I've been playing my own tune. I haven't been playing for God. I haven't been listening to God. I haven't let God work in me like he wants to. I need to make a change in my life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, You can use the QR code on the screen, or you can come forward right now. There are men and women who have been trained and would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. If you're here and you know the Lord, but maybe you're at a place right now where the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to rededicate your life. You have been like an instrument in the closet. You used to play real well, but you haven't been played in a long time. I don't know what you've been through, but here's what I do know. God can love you right where you are. And the wonderful thing about his love is his love will go and find you where you are, and his love will never tell anybody else where he found you. He'll make something beautiful out of your life from right where you are. So as Elder Taylor sings that chorus, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to come forward. Come on and come.
Lord, make me whole. Make me whole.
Lord, make me
whole. This is my prayer, Lord. My heart, oh God.
Make me over again.
Listen, if there's somebody that wants to come for prayer, I want to make sure I phrase this correctly. A prayer of recommitment to God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. You just want to pray and make sure nothing goes wrong. You want to make sure that if it's right, it stays right. You just want to come and just say, you know what, Lord, I want to make a recommitment of my life to you. I want you to come forward. We're going to have a word of prayer today, if that's where you are. Come on and come.
Make me over again. Make me over again. Make me over. Make me over again.
Come on, you're a member. You're already a member, but you're saying, you know what, Lord, I want to recommit myself. I can see where I've gotten off track. I can see where I've gotten off key.
Make me over.
Don't stop. Pastor was calling somebody and you still didn't come. Because the truth of the matter is, every day ought to be a day of recommitment. And so I don't know what the shame is we have when we come around the altar. But let's just remove the pretense around coming before a holy God. Everybody in here knows that there's something about you that you need God to deal with. That you're working, that God is still working in you for. And so let's not leave our brothers and sisters here at this altar by themselves. I see some folks standing by themselves, and not even the members should be here making certain that they're not standing on their own. And so let's open this altar call again, so that we can support those who have come, but also say, Lord, make me over again. There's some stuff about me that I need you to deal with. There's some stuff that's going on in my mind that I need you to deal with. There have been some thoughts that I've been thinking that are not like you. I've had some activity that's not been like you. I've said some words this week that are not like you. And I didn't used to be contaminated like this, but now for some reason or another, I am. Let's have some honesty today. that we need God to make us over. So this altar is open for you to come, even in this very moment, even as we pray. Father, we your children, we've come because you made us. And so, Father, you know all about us. Father, we're your creation and we're your children. But along our journey, something between our conception and our reality, we've gotten wayward. We've been contaminated. We've gone astray. We've missed the mark, sometimes intentionally and other times just because life has done its or run its course. And so, Father, we, your children, come here acknowledging that we're out of tune today. And we see the signs all around us. Can't sleep at night. Hearing things that don't agree with your word. Saying things towards ourselves and others that is not pleasing to you. God, we began to live for our own self-ego and engrasment. God, our own ambitions, our own pleasures. God, we ask that you would look inside of us today. And God, began to search our hearts. And God, when you find that which is not like you, that is opposed to your will, your way, your word, and our witness for you, God, we ask that you would take it out of us. God, if you've got power to raise Jesus from the dead, then with that very same power, you can change us. You can make us over. And God, thank you that you never get tired of giving us the grace and the mercy that we need. Father, you said in your word that your mercies are new every morning. And Father, that we move from grace to grace and from faith to faith. And so, Father, we're asking for an upgrade. We're asking for a new version of who we are, to be more like you, Father. Father, here's our confession. We can't make it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. And so, God, we yield to you today. God, we yield to your word today. God, we invite your presence into our hearts, in our minds. God, take control over our lives. God, don't just be resident, be president. Tell us what to do. Tell us where to go. Show us what decisions to make. God, help us with who to connect with and who to disconnect with. God, show us, strengthen our will beyond our will. Strengthen our walk with you, God, that we don't look for man's approval, but we look to please you. God, let us be living sacrifices that pleasing in your sight. And Father, we declare and decree by faith that you have heard our prayer and you are hearing our prayer. And though we may not see it right now, it's working for the better and it's working for the good. So God, just keep on having your way in us. Work in us, work through us, so we can please you with our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God glory, for he's making us over even right now. Amen. And perhaps you're at this altar and you want to join this church. I want you to follow those persons who have their follow me signs. They will lead you into a walk with Jesus Christ. Anybody want to be made over by God today? Come on, church. Praise God. We all need it. And we are grateful to God for his goodness. Can we give God praise for our beloved pastor who gave us a wonderful word? Amen. The word is a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and going out. And we all